From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. It's August 1st, and that means that early and absentee in-person voting are open for Alaska's August 16th elections. Voting for both the regular primary election and the special general election will be on the same ballot. In the Pick 1 primary election, voters will choose their top pick for U.S. Senator, U.S. Representative, Governor, State Senator, and State Representative. The top four vote-getters in each race will go on to the November general election ballot. The back of the ballot will have ranked choice voting for the special election to decide who will fill the rest of the term left by the late Representative Don Young. Voters will rank three candidates, Republicans Sarah Palin and Nick Begich, and Democrat Mary Peltola, who were determined by a Pick 1 primary in June. Early and absentee in-person voting is available in Juneau at the Mendenhall Mall in the Valley or on the 8th floor of the State Office Building downtown. Both locations are open 8 to 5 on weekdays. The Valley location will be open 10 to 4 on Saturdays and noon to 4 on Sundays. If voting in person, bring a government-issued ID, which can be a voter ID card or a valid ID with a photo on it, like a driver's license, passport, military ID, hunting or fishing license. Voters can also request a ballot online or by mail or fax. The deadline to request a mail-in ballot is Saturday. For more information about the elections, to find your polling place or to see sample ballots, go to elections.alaska.gov. In other election news, Alaska U.S. House candidate Sarah Palin says the state's ranked choice voting system needs to be changed. During a candidate forum on Juneau radio station KINY, Palin called the ranked voting system convoluted and complicated. Begich said it's the system candidates have to work with, but said he would like to see a return to the prior system. Peltola said she's hopeful more moderate candidates will be elected with ranked voting. Glacier Bay National Park and Preserve started its own cruise ship monitoring program this July. Cruise companies are paying for independent inspectors to board ships unannounced and make sure they follow environmental rules. KTOO's Claire Schrempel reports.
Glacier Bay used to rely on the state's Ocean Ranger program for these inspections, but the program was defunded before the pandemic.
We were really hopeful that the Ocean Ranger program would continue.
Park scientist Scott Gendy said the Ocean Rangers were essential to the park's tourism structure.
We would not have an inspection program if the Ocean Ranger program didn't exist.
Ocean Rangers made sure the large cruise ships followed environmental rules, especially around the kind of wastewater they can discharge into Alaska waters. It was started by voters and paid for it through a statewide tax on cruise ship passengers. Governor Mike Dunleavy defunded the program in 2019. It's still on the books, but it hasn't been in the budget since. That puts the park and the cruise companies in a tight spot because they signed a decade-long contract that legally commits them to inspections. Park Superintendent Philip Hoogy says that those contracts mean the park has some of the highest environmental standards in the world.
We work tightly in partnership, a really good relationship with the cruise industry, but we also need to have independent verification on all aspects of our contract.
The park covers 3.3 million acres, and it's considered one of the gems of Southeast Alaska. Coastal temperate rainforest is punctuated by deep glacier-carved fjords and snow-covered peaks. About 600,000 people visit the park by cruise ship each year. The National Park Service's duty is to protect these resources while still making them available to the American public. The state still does port inspections on cruise ships, but Gendy says they don't go far enough. The park needs inspectors that are on the ships while they're at sail and who arrive unannounced for random inspections. Gendy says he hopes the independent contractor is a temporary solution.
We'd be thrilled to death if the state would integrate that into their Ocean Ranger program, and we can get some Ocean Rangers back on board. But until then, this is our approach, and we're going to continue forward with these third-party inspectors.
So far, three major cruise lines have signed a contract with third-party inspectors. The park expects a contract with the fourth large cruise company soon. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
A former state ferry laid up in Ketchikan has some new residents, refugees from the war in Ukraine. KRBD's Eric Stone went on board to meet some of them and has this report.
Before Russia invaded Ukraine, 29-year-old Mikita Zakharchenko spent half a decade working on ships.
I work in Europe. It's Mediterranean Sea, North Sea, England also. Yeah, we work in the big container ships.
Now he's spending his days on another ship, the MV Malaspina. The former Alaska Marine Highway mainliner is undergoing a transformation. It was purchased earlier this year by the owners of The Mill at Ward Cove. That's a private cruise ship terminal operating out of Ketchikan's old pulp mill. Zakharchenko and three other refugees are working to turn the Malaspina into a museum and maritime training center and housing for the cruise terminal's seasonal employees. Zakharchenko says when he first arrived in early June, the former ferry was showing its age.
Before, it looks like it's nobody lived for 3 years here. It's not so bad, but we need to organize everything. It was dirty, too much dust, feel not so fresh air inside. We cleaning, removed everything, yeah. Some lights is not working, don't work in the toilets, pipes, something, yeah. Also, yeah, now everything is okay, yeah. We're trying to make it better, yeah.
Now the lights are on, the water is running, and 16 people are living aboard, including the four refugees and a dozen employees of the cruise terminal. By day, Zakharchenko works on restoring the boat. In the evenings, you're likely to find him at the Malaspina's bar, playing foosball, watching TV, or enjoying a home-cooked meal with his shipmates. He comes to Ketchikan from the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. He says the city had grown tense since Russia's annexation of nearby Crimea in 2014. Then, this spring, tanks and troops started pouring over Ukraine's borders with Russia and Belarus. He says he knew it wouldn't be long before the fighting arrived at his doorstep.
It started from the 24th of February. We think it's full-out war, and we need to find some safe place.
He fled to the western part of the country and started volunteering. He stayed in Ukraine for another 2 weeks before he was granted permission to leave for Germany in mid-March. But his parents remained in Mariupol as the Russian army laid siege to the city.
We don't have any communication, and we didn't call. We check the news, special news. We see Mariupol is almost destroyed, and we don't know what happened with my family. We so really worry.
For 2 weeks, he was left to wonder whether his parents were alive or dead as his hometown crumbled under relentless Russian artillery fire. And then?
I received a call from my father, and my father first what he said, it's we are still alive. It was really, I'm crying, yeah, because I'm happy and I cry.
They had escaped Mariupol, taking 3 days to reach central Ukraine on roads riddled with landmines. Today, Zakharchenko says they're safe in Germany. Meanwhile, Zakharchenko and his high school sweetheart and partner of 13 years made their way to Anchorage through the Uniting for Ukraine program. That's a program that allows Ukrainian refugees to stay in America for up to 2 years if they have a sponsor. That's when longtime Alaska tourism businessman John Binkley says he got a call from his son, who was working with volunteers in Anchorage to find places to resettle refugees fleeing the war.
And we said, bring them to Ketchikan. We've got the perfect spot for them here. We'll take care of them. And we have the perfect situation, the MV Malaspina, that can take care of them as well.
They arrived in early June. Binkley says he's not paying the refugees. He says he's not allowed to until they're issued a social security number. But he's covering all their expenses. They have an account at the local supermarket, access to a car, and the use of numerous toys at the cruise terminal, like kayaks, e-bikes, and sea cycles.
And they've been phenomenal. People, just wonderful human beings, hardworking. They have purpose here now, and we've just come to love them and appreciate them, and we feel humbled to help in some small way.
16-year-old Sofia Zagrabelska is living aboard the Malaspina with her mother. It's the second time the pair has uprooted their lives fleeing the war. They had lived near the eastern Ukrainian city of Donetsk until war broke out with Russian-backed separatists in 2014. They fled to Kharkiv. But then they were forced to relocate again this spring when Russian troops started bombing and shelling their new home. Zagrabelska is a little self-conscious about her English, but she works up the courage to tell me that she's just glad to be away from the fighting.
I'm very happy to be in USA because in USA I be in safe zone. I'm very happy I don't listen sound bomb. And I sleep in bed, not in, under floor.
As for Zakharchenko, he says he's still getting used to the rain here in Ketchikan, but he loves the scenery.
Oh, it's a very beautiful place. I never see it before. The view like here, yeah, it's amazing looking.
He says if the government allows it, he could see himself staying in Ketchikan for quite a while.
Oh, for 10 years, maybe, yeah. I don't know. Everything is going good. I like this place. I like people who around me who support me. I find new friends here. Also, my work is very interesting. I'm every day study something new.
He's glad to be safe, but at the same time, he yearns for home. He says he wishes he could turn back the clock to before the war and live his life in the country he loves.
I did not want to go away from Ukraine. It was my land, yeah. Everybody understands this, yeah.
But for now, a berth on the Malaspina will have to do. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
And finally, wildlife monitors in Metlakatla said last week they found more than a dozen invasive European green crabs in the waters around Annette Island. They're the first live samples spotted in Alaska. Federal officials have called them one of the most invasive marine species around. Green crab target juvenile Dungeness crab, juvenile salmon, shellfish, and mollusks, threatening subsistence and commercial interests. Their appearance in Washington prompted Governor Jay Inslee to issue an emergency proclamation. The tribe scientists are keeping them alive for now for research. The Metlakatla Indian community says tribal officials are working with federal and state partners for genetic analysis and outreach. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, August 1st, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.